Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
So if somebody wants to build a coal power plant, they can. It's just that it will bankrupt them because they're going to be charged a huge sum for all that greenhouse gas that's being emitted.
Blue Monday, how are you?
It is the Savage Nation. Of course, this will be the show of shows for this year. There's no question about it. Well, tomorrow might be better. But now here we have a YouTube tape where Obama says he wants his own SA. That would be the brown shirts of Hitler, when he says he wants his own civilian security force. And not one of the empty skirts in the media, not one of the anemic, psychotic, so-called liberal journalists has challenged this harlequin on what he means by his own civilian security force. And this goes to the entire problem with America today. On the other side, we have a tired old hack who was washed up less than a year ago because he had shafted his own base. That would be John McCain. We have a tired old hack called McCain who has the nerve to go on Saturday Night Live and make a fool of himself over and over and over again, pandering to the most minute audiences in the country while ignoring his own conservative base repeatedly. And on the other side, we have a naked Marxist, probably an Islamist at his heart, and I don't give a darn whether this passes muster with the empty cigar store dummies in the media. I fear that Obama is a stealth Muslim candidate. Oh, I know that they say he's a Christian, not a Muslim. Well, he has two Muslim fathers. He was a Muslim as a child. Now, if he's a Muslim, he ought to say so, because not all Muslims hate America. Then why is he hiding his Muslim connections? And oh, yes, our condolences to his grandmother who raised him, who he so bravely visited last week, shockingly out of nowhere in the last days of a campaign, while the rumors of his birth certificate not being valid were circulating throughout the internet. Shockingly, Obama goes to Hawaii, and again, not one of the empty skirts in the media asks him about his birth certificate, the Kenyan relatives. Not one of the empty skirts in the media raises the question. And today she dies. Poor lady dies. Poor lady dies today. The woman who raised him, the white grandmother who raised him. So we have a candidate on one side who says he wants his own civilian security force. We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set, he says. On our military? On the national security objectives that we've set? He says we've got to have a civilian national security force that is just as powerful. And look at his shady eyes. What is Obama hiding? What does he mean to achieve the national security objectives that we've set? What does he mean, a civilian national security force? Does he mean what? Exactly what does he mean? Now, I want to go to the election itself. I can't predict what's going to happen. I don't trust any of the polls. But on the other hand, I see the campaign of McCain was the worst campaign ever run by a candidate that I've seen in my entire life. I have never seen a candidate abandon his own base and make a dunce of himself on television. Now, I endorsed him last Monday, and he moved up in the polls for the last 3 or 4 days after that. And if he should move ahead sufficient to gain momentum, it'll be because of you, the independent voter. I understand that. But I'm not going to rush to judgment and say he's going to win. However, I'm going to raise a question. I live in several different counties in the San Francisco area, one of which is Marin County, as liberal as they come, filled with the most drugged up old hippies you could imagine. By and large, filled with aging, they're basically dead men and dead women walking with one foot in the hippie grave and half a brain. And yet, even in this brain-dead liberal county of Marin, I see almost no Obama yard signs. And that is peculiar to me, Michael Savage. I am an observer as much as I am a reader. I learn from Life 101 as much as I do from reading. I've written books. I've read books. I've written 25 published books. I have several unpublished manuscripts. Psychological nudity is going crazy in sales right now. Okay, so I know the written word, but I know better than the written word sometimes is the walking word. I walk, I bicycle, and I look, and I observe, and I listen. Where are the Obama yard signs in liberal Marin County? Why are the diehard aging hippies in Marin not putting up Obama yard signs? They're certainly not afraid of the Republicans. There are hardly any here. Why are they not 100% behind him? And there are very few Obama bumper stickers. Yes, you have the diehard militant feminist driving around in her Prius, self-righteously cutting you off from the right lane with an Obama bumper sticker, but they're far and few between. Why? Why in Marin County, California, are there so few Obama bumper stickers? Now, I have friends down in West Los Angeles and Hollywood. In that area, there are Obama bumper signs, Obama lawn signs all over the place in crazy L.A. where most of the people are totally mad. But why in Marin County, where there are so many liberals, are there so few Obama yard signs? That's number one. And number two, I have spoken with a few very, very intelligent people who have been around a long time who, I don't know whether it is wishful thinking or not, believe McCain could win. Not only because of the same observation that I've made, they live in liberal counties as well, and there are very few Obama yard signs. But, for example, the Jewish people in this country are small in population numbers, and yet very important in the election for various reasons. They're turning on Obama. They're turning on Obama, if you want to look at a YouTube clip on michaelsavage.com, of Tubby Gerald Nadler being verbally cornered in a synagogue in Boca Raton, Florida, where Orthodox Jewish people would not let this man continue his double talk and his lies. They caught Nadler, Representative Nadler, one of the most slimy of the New York political class. They said he was lying through his teeth to make the good case that Obama was good for Israel. They wouldn't buy it. They would not buy it, and they have Nadler on record backpedaling and saying that Obama is not politically courageous. Now, if the Jewish vote, which is forever, since the Great Depression, been liberal Democrat to the 90th percentile, why is it that the Jewish vote is moving away from Obama in this case? And the question then becomes, what about the coal vote? What about the coal vote in Ohio? When Obama said that he will bankrupt coal companies, and that came out just last week. If somebody wants to build a coal plant, they can. It's just that it will bankrupt them. Do you think Ohioans are that dumb? Do you think they're going to vote themselves into oblivion? But the one that bothers me is not so much about the Jewish vote or not so much about the coal vote. I want to know why you liberals are not worried about a demagogue like Obama, who you know nothing about, incidentally, where he says that in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set, what are those national security objectives? Maybe you good liberals can put millions of people at ease today and call the show and tell me what Obama meant when he says to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. What are those national security objectives, Mr. Liberal? Then he says we've got to have a civilian national security force that is just as powerful. What does he mean by a civilian national security force? Is it the equivalent of Hitler's SA? I will ask the question until it is illegal to do so. I have not only a right to ask this question, I have an obligation to ask this question. Because I will remind you that we in the media are supposed to be the watchdog of our society. not the lapdogs of our society. And just because ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, and the others have become lapdogs of the Obamamaniacs does not mean that I have to fall in line. Or does it mean that? You mean it's going to be like Nazi Germany where we're going to have to show our Nazi party card? Have you joined the party? You're not a member of the party? Well, then you can't get a job. You can't get a scholarship. You can't be on the radio unless you are a good member of the Obama party. Is that the country you liberal Nazis want to live in? Well, I got news for you. It ain't going to happen so fast. There are millions of us who are not going to roll over to you left wingers. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Okay, civilian national security force. Gee, I thought that was the National Guard. And what does he mean to achieve the national security objectives that we've set? What are they? Now, if we had a press corps that was valid in America, I wouldn't have to ask these questions. But we don't have a valid press corps. We have an invalid group of sycophants at best, a group of fellow travelers at worst. So we don't have a press corps we can rely upon. We have a bunch of poll takers and poll talkers. But we don't have investigative journalists by and large, nor do we have a serious press corps that will ask questions. It's gotten so bad that even a former speechwriter for Ronald Reagan named Peggy Noonan, some of you don't know who she is, she's an old line Reaganite. Yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, Peggy Noonan celebrated Obama. And I say on my website, showed her the true color of her petticoat pink. She actually made a case for Barack Obama. She actually went out of her way to say that she's looking forward to an Obama win. Now, here's a woman who worked for Ronald Reagan. This shows me that the old guard check pants Republicans are in the fix. And I have feared for a long while that McCain was a fall guy set up to take a dive in order to put Obama in the office. And I don't know Peggy Noonan's connections. I can't accuse her of being part of that conspiracy. But I will say that this woman's support for Obama, remember, former speechwriter for Reagan, shows the true color of her petticoat, and that is pink. But she's an insignificant fly on the wall. She's representative of many flies on the wall. And I am telling you something's wrong with this picture. They're all going to raise taxes. They have to, because Bush bankrupted the country along with his Democrat cronies. Will free speech be eliminated through the Fairness Doctrine? Well, they may try it. I still tell you that I believe that when we fight them and take it to the Supreme Court, we will win, because I don't see how there's a legal precedent to target one element of the media. I don't see the legal precedent. I may not be a lawyer, but I do have a PhD. I've been around long enough to have studied sufficiently to tell you. I don't see how you say, well, we want a Fairness Doctrine and it only applies to conservative talk radio. I don't see the legal precedent for that. Now, of course, if you want a dictatorship that says we don't need a legal precedent, and we're just going to do it, hey, good luck to you then. If you want fascist dictatorship, which is, I'm sure, what Media Matters wants, I'm sure it's what George Soros wants. I'm sure it's what the Marxists around Obama want. I'm positive it's what the Nation of Islam wants. I don't know whether they're going to get it. So the only question remains, and I've raised this with friends on the internet three or four times, not many, and this is a very pregnant question, and it has to be asked very delicately. I've asked this question repeatedly, and I've never gotten the right answer. Many of you say, well, Savage, you're going overboard because the moneyed interest in the Democrat Party, the Pelosi side, the Feinstein side, the billionaires who are supporting Obama, they're not going to turn this country over to a crackpot who's going to use the Nation of Islam as jackbooted thugs in white neighborhoods to scare people. No, we're just going to have a Democrat win along the lines of FDR, kind of a moderately socialist government where they can dip their beaks into the public till to an extent that you can't imagine. But it's not going to be fascistic, Mike, because the Democrat money interests that have backed Obama will control Obama. So I say to these people, Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. That was written, of course, by the Spanish philosopher Santayana. And what history am I referring to? There was another young man in the 1930s who was a great orator. He mesmerized crowds by the millions. He was the rock star of his time. He was the rock star of Germany, and he promised change and hope. And he said he would get rid of all of the insults and the debasement that Germany had been through. And he would make Germany proud again. And they voted him in, only by 33%, by the way. I don't know if you know that, but this young man from Germany was elected with a very slim majority of the votership. Only 33 or 34% of the Germans, I believe, voted for this young man who promised hope in Germany. Well, the billionaires, or at that time the millionaires who supported this young man from Germany named Adolf Hitler, the Krupps, and the other manufacturers who put him in power by funding him, they said, oh, don't worry about this guy. Now that he's chancellor, we'll control him. Little did they know that this man who offered change and hope in Germany wound up controlling them. And that leads me to the next quote of the day on the Savage Nation. And whoever gets the name of the author correct wins a free copy of Psychological Nudity. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Whoever knows who said that and when it was said and in what context wins a free copy of Psychological Nudity, my great new book, Savage Radio Stories, available only on michaelsavage.com. Who said power corrupts? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. michaelsavage.com is the website. The lead story today is a shocking story, which proves beyond a reasonable doubt that we do not have a journalistic profession left in America. What exists, exists on the internet and on talk radio. Two areas that these left-wing fascists are going to try to control, because power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Do we have a winner yet? We don't have a winner yet, but we'll have a winner shortly. And incidentally, another story. Who in the media has become the most hysterical? Who in the electronic media has become literally the most hysterical? Who other than Wolf Blitzer, who belongs inside a Bloomingdale's department store dummy body rather than on CNN? What a disgrace. What a shame. What a disgrace and what a shame to himself and his people.
Savage.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
The government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America. That's in the Bible for killing innocent people. God America for treating our citizens as less than human.
Well, there you have it. Now, you can draw any conclusion you want. You could say, well, the ravings of the Reverend mean nothing. He only sat there for 20 years. You can say that his claims to create a civilian security force is a benign idea, something along the lines of the Peace Corps. Or you can say, wait a minute, Michael said power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I asked people to call in with who said that first and under what circumstance. And we're going to talk about it in a minute, but we do have a winner, so please, no more calls on that question. I want you to stop calling on that. Jose wins a free copy of Psychological Nudity. Jose in Grand Rapids, who said that?
Yes, sir, that was Lord Acton, a professor of Cambridge, who said that liberty is not a means to a higher political end. It is itself the highest political end. Mm-hmm. And Lord Acton is a model that we should pay attention to.
When Lord Acton said power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely, do you know who he was referring to or what situation he was referring to?
It escapes my mind at the moment, but it was about the turn of the century. So,
it was actually said around the period in the 1940s, if I remember correctly, although I don't have the exact year. And he was referring, of course, to virtually any politician. Most of them, as you well know, are power mad, or they wouldn't go in the field to begin with. But when you have a man like this who has millions of worshipers who don't even listen to what he's saying but are swayed by his rhetorical abilities, there's a man who's drunk on his own power, which is corrupting him. And I believe that absolute power will corrupt him absolutely. And I don't know that the Pelosi wing of the party can constrain him should he win, Jose. That's my particular fear.
Well, what I'm really concerned is about this civilian national security force and how all that is tied to everything we know that is not known about Obama.
What does he mean by a national security, a civilian national security force? Does he mean the Nation of Islam in every white neighborhood, patrolling and cajoling? What does he mean?
He means a community-level security cells, pretty much like the Committees for the Defense of the Revolution in Cuba and the Bolivarian circles in Venezuela. These are networks of – they are already in place if you want to heed the warning. ACORN, for example, is only one of over 100 different community organizations that appear to be working independently but are all working coordinatedly towards the same effect. This is very well established by Saul Alinsky and Saul Alinsky's mentor, philosophical mentor, Antonio Gramsci, the Italian communist. And it goes at par with Senator Obama's understanding of the Constitution, which constitutions are to be circumvented by a loose network of community organizations that you can at one time spring together into action.
I sense that – are you from Cuba originally?
No, I'm not going to tell you what, but I have.
All right, fine. Oh, okay, preserve your privacy. But I understand about cadres. I know how they operate. But what, in your mind, can explain a candidate for the presidency saying that in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set, we've got to have a civilian national security force? Why is he not being asked what he means by this by anyone in the media? Why?
Because for the last 30, 40 years, This new left international multiculturalist movement has been working at all levels, from the universities to the media to everywhere, where even the journalists that have been formed and come out of journalist schools from the last 30 years are so already indoctrinated and ingrained in the verbiage, in the terminology, that they are all part of this, whether they even know it or not. So what you have here is exactly what Gramsci's dream was, that you slowly infiltrate. You don't have to create a communist party. You don't have to be confrontational. What you do is you slowly infiltrate all the institutions in culture so that at one point, when the time is ripe, all you have to do is introduce the leader that you are going to, through the democratic process, eliminate the democratic process. So if you look at...
Hold on now. I understand what you're saying, and I know many intelligent men who see it exactly your way, that this man is a dangerous demagogue and possibly dictator in the making. I have a question for you, though, since you really do know what you're saying, and I can hear in your voice you're holding back a lot more than you know. I'll ask the next question. What is it in the Pelosi-Feinstein wing of the billionaires that will prevent them from controlling Obama?
Because they will, regardless. See, this, you have to understand also where Soros comes from. This is a move towards a state capitalism. The people who are very afraid of Obama is establishing a communist dictatorship have also to consider, even in the left right now, there's a big critique about that, that Obama is really a puppet of a very dangerous transnational capitalist movement to control capital through political...
Pause 1 minute, because I have Ralph Nader on this show later who agrees with you.
Well, it is very insidious. It's not a coincidence that one of the top advisors of the educational so-called reform in Venezuela is Bill Ayers, who was just there in September giving a speech to Chavez.
And oh, my God, you're kidding me.
No,
he's still traveling to the communist country of Chavez?
Bill Ayers was at a Congress of teachers, the Pedagogical Venezuelan Congress, just not long ago. Oh. And Bill Ayers is has closer ties to Obama than we have been told, even by dissidents. He is a colleague of Obama, has been for the longest time, and they start with the philosophy from Paulo Freire, which is one of the pedagogical theoreticians of liberation theology, which says that all education is for revolution. Since all education is no education is neutral, you might as well then make it politically consciously active and use the universities, use all of the education.
Wait a minute. This same Bill Ayers is on tape saying that they may have to liquidate 25 million Americans. We have that YouTube tape. Do you actually believe in your wildest fears and what you really know about the world that the Obama wing of this party will do that?
Yes, absolutely. It's not that they will. That's what they want to do. Bill Ayers was an agent of the Cuban intelligence
community. Then why is it that John McCain won't say this? Why is it that John McCain keeps boosting Obama? Is John McCain a Manchurian candidate?
No, you have to. We have to be realistic. Look, even what I'm telling you, I know for a fact because I have been in their inner circles, and I have studied, not only studied this, I've been monitoring, studying this for more than 30 years, and I've been a part of it. But even if when I say it, even to friends, I have friends of mine sending me emails now, saying, Jose, if you had said this to me 6 months ago, a year ago, I would have laughed in your face. And I said, look, people have been laughing in my face for 20 years. Obama wrote a piece for the Daily Kos in 2005 where he says that one of the strategies that his side of the Democratic Party has to do is to make sure to kick out all moderates in the Democratic Party. This program was established in the universities. There is no way. Now, about 95% of...
Oh, wait, Jose, I hear you, and I can listen to you for hours because I know that you have a lot to offer. Why is McCain not exposing Obama for being the stealth Marxist that you are describing?
The Republicans are totally naive. They are they fall trap to all of the rhetoric of this movement, and they don't know, they don't have the ideological formation, they don't have the philosophical formation. They are very naive. They're thinking that they're dealing with an equal inter pares, you know,
right. So they just think it's a Democrat that they're opposing, and he's a nice guy like them because nobody in the political structure could be anything but a nice guy like them.
And also because they don't have all this knowledge and all this information, they cannot say without being laughed out.
So McCain is exactly what he looks like, a clueless old man who doesn't even know who he's competing with.
Well, I don't want to go that way because I think he's a very strong and very courageous man.
Wait a minute. Sure, he's strong and courageous, but there's a lot of strong and courageous idiots out there. But if he doesn't understand who he's competing with and he insults his own base, how can he win?
Not just him. This the whole Republican Party. They have.
Hey, look, Jose. You know that I know what you're talking about. They're a bunch of worthless Yaleites, a bunch of worthless check pants. Look at Peggy Noonan coming out for Obama.
That's absolutely true. You know, the Republican Party really left all of us down. We who came in from the Democratic left and moved into society had the opportunity to really turn the Republican Party into a really popular, democratic, really middle working class party. The middle class.
They wanted nothing to do with working class people, and you've touched on the raw nerve of why the Republicans may be finished forever. Because they're a bunch of racists and elitists. No matter how they try to repackage themselves, they don't like colored people, they don't like Jews, and they don't like Latinos, and you know that.
That's absolutely true, but you know...
You know that's true. And so their own racist, their own biases are exactly why they're stuck in clueless land with a dunce like John McCain, who I voted for and who I will support because I don't want an outright Marxist to win. But that doesn't mean I don't know who John McCain is.
Well, Dr. Savage, they have left the American people like sheep without a shepherd. The American people will never be socialist because this is the only country where social mobility is such a guarantee that has the widest middle class in the world. And the American worker does not want to own the means of production. The American worker wants to work and have fun on the weekends and not have to be involved in managerial decisions. But they want the freedom to be able to move socially wherever they want to. And they have left the American people at the hands of a person and a group of people from George Soros down, who their sole purpose is to destroy the middle class because it is the last bulwark of American democracy.
Listen, I could have you on for 3 hours tonight. I don't know of a better conversation than we're having. But first of all, Jose, I'm going to send you a free copy of Psychological Nudity because of all the people I've spoken with on the show, and I've spoken with some good ones, you are absolutely the best, and I think that you're probably a very famous person who we all should know. So please stay on because I have a few key questions for you. One will be when I come back, what will be the warning signs of an absolute Marxist dictatorship in this country? What will the first thing be that will clue us that the man is as dangerous as we fear? On my website, by the way, we're the first to have it up from the Associated Press. Muslims sued over scarves in California jail settled. Take a look at this honey up there. A California county was sued by the ACLU because a jailed Muslim woman said that by taking off her headscarf, they violated her religious freedom. She just won. Take a look at this prize. Now ask yourself, what's to stop the gangs from taking over the police in this country? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Many people I know and many intelligent, educated people feel as though they're living in a dream. They're saying this can't happen here. It can't happen here. It can happen here. He's just a nice multiracial guy and all he wants to do is make things more equitable. And then there are others who say, no, Michael, look at Reverend Wright. Look at Bill Ayers. Look at his rhetoric. Look at his saying that we need a civilian national security force. Look at what this man is saying and look at what's going on in this country. And then go back to Lord Acton, 1834 to 1902, a historian and moralist who said this in 1887, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Great men are almost always bad men. 1-800-449-8255. Jose, welcome back to the Savage Nation. You have so many people electrified by your insights that I'm going to anoint you as our first Savage Sage. I'm creating a new group of listeners, a new cluster, called Savage Sages, Jose, and I'd like you to be the first sage in that crown because I think you have so much insight to what's going on in this country. I hope you'll accept that offer.
I am very honored, but I return the honor by thanking you because you do not underestimate your audience as other shows do with the 30 seconds get out of my line approach. I was going to answer your question about what to look for.
Let me rephrase the question. If Obama wins, and if he's the Marxist you fear and I fear he is, and if the dangerous Bill Ayers, who said he wants to liquidate 25 million people, should be in his inner circle, and Reverend Wright, the white-hating, America-hating pastor, reenters his life, and Reverend Farrakhan reenters his life in a big way, what are the first five things this man will attempt to do, and how can he be stopped?
The first thing he's going to try to do is to control the Supreme Court. And if he cannot do that, he's going to try to install this so-called civilian national security force or any kind of public service where he will take people who pay no taxes and will be working for government organizations at local and grassroots levels at which they would be receiving a paycheck from the government, which would be nothing but what has been redistributed through the taxes from the upper, from the middle class and the upper middle classes to pay for this organization. These organizations will also have a very well-developed re-education program regarding what is civic involvement and what is the so-called real meaning of the Constitution.
All right, so for example, last week a guy came to my gates and rang the bell. And he rang the bell, and he kept ringing the bell, and I wouldn't answer. My dog started to bark. He wouldn't stop ringing the bell at my gates now, not my door, till I opened the door and I said, please go away, you're bothering my dogs. And he wouldn't go away. And I know he was an Obamaite. I can tell you that right off. And he said with a big smile, no, I have something important to tell you, and it's not about religion. I said, go away from my property. And he left with a smile, a big smile on his face. Is that what you're talking about, Jose?
That's one of the things that we have to look for. Look, 10 years ago, Chavez came to power exactly almost the same conditions, promising all kinds of changes. Slowly, bit by bit, now we are to a point where Chavez dared to attempt to rewrite the Constitution. Thank God that the Venezuelan people, especially the young people, know better, and he was defeated. But still, in the current Constitution, which he had something to do with, is something called the enabling laws, which gives him the power to write laws by decree. The Constitution that he wanted to impose had over 300 different articles full of government-given rights. And in this habilitating or enabling laws, he has actually passed a decree eliminating the National Constitutional Army to turn it into a political militia. Before he did
that, mean along the lines of Hitler's SA, the brown shirts, isn't that true?
But yes, but the reason he was able to do that is because he started this a similar program of this National Civilian Defense Force. So he has this in place. Now he has bought 100,000 AK-47s from Russia for these National Civilian Defense Force, which is...
Let's pause right here. Will Obama try to seize guns? My answer is no. That would be too overt. These are very clever, stealth Marxists. That's the last thing they're going to do because they won't have to do it for the first 2 or 3 years. Do you agree with that or disagree?
I agree with that, but he has also said that he doesn't have to do that. He said this. He said that that is up, that we do not need to do that constitutionally. You don't even have to bother with that because at the local level, you could do it through civic ordinances and local ordinances.
You're saying seize guns through civic ordinances. He wouldn't even challenge it at the Supreme Court level. Jose, look, you're a savage sage. We're sending you psychological nudity. I would like to open the next hour talking with you about the next phase of this bloodbath coming to America, should your worst fears be realized. I hope you'll be here for us because I know minions are advising themselves to listen.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well funded.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, flag or sleeve all day. Here come Tuesday.
Is the Savage Nation. We're all puzzling over what Mr. Obama, the Anointed One, means by the national security objectives that we've set. And number two, what does Mr. Obama mean by a civilian national security force that is just as powerful as our military? Welcome to the program. It has come out on YouTube that this is what the Anointed One has said. And yet so many liberals are so brainwashed, they don't even understand what they're dealing with here. We have been talking about this. There are fears running throughout America, and I don't mean from the extreme right only. I mean through the center, right into the Democrat side. There are fears running through the guts of millions of Americans. And the fears range all the way from, is this guy simply an FDR type of Democrat who's going to bring back a semblance of liberalism of the socialist order? Or is this man a Mugabe? Is he a Chavez? Is he a Castro? Is he a Mussolini? Who is this man? Now, with that many questions swirling around, you would think that during one of these stooge Stalinist debates run by the baggy-eyed Bolshevik Jim Lehrer of PBS and the other stooges of the far left, that once somebody would have asked these questions of Obama. Mr. Obama, you've said that you want your own civilian security force. What is that force going to do? What will be their role? How does it differ from the National Guard? But no, the baggy-eyed Bolsheviks didn't say that, did they? The big question mark is, why did John McCain, war hero, not ask this question? Why is it that when voters came up to John McCain and said, that man is a Muslim, and John McCain said, oh, no, don't worry, he's a nice guy just like me, and the audience booed him. Why are women screaming at John McCain, get tough, when are you going to get tough? Why can't John McCain get tough? The answers are many. I don't want to spend too much time dissecting John McCain's psychological problems because they are manifest and they are pretty clear to anybody who has studied basic psychology what happened to him in Vietnam, and we don't have to go there. The one thing I know is this. As bad a politician as McCain is for the true Americans, John McCain is unquestionably not going to introduce some of these nightmarish scenarios to America, such as a civilian security force, such as disarming Americans, such as stabbing Israel in the back, etc., and so on. Therefore, on national security, it's John McCain 100 and Obama 0. And as far as I'm concerned, with the millions of prisoners and ex-prisoners who have been brainwashed by imams in our prisons, with the very dangerous associations with the Nation of Islam and with Bill Ayers and the revolutionary Marxists, I'll take my chances on the old but true rather than the unknown and the unproven. This is the Savage Nation. I have given out a prize. Please don't call anymore with the answer when I said, who first said, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. The caller, Jose from Grand Rapids, Michigan, who is an extremely erudite man, a man who knows the left intimately and well, called and won the prize. He won a copy of Psychological Nudity. And he, of course, joins us again. Jose, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Jose, without identifying who you are, I wouldn't ask that. I have gone on your website. It's very interesting indeed. And I won't read it out until you're ready, you know, at another time. You, just briefly, though, you did have deep experience on the left, correct?
That's correct.
And you're of the opinion that Obama is not going to be an FDR type of, let's say, liberal Democrat socialist blend. He's going to be something far more deadly. Is that correct?
That is correct. Senator Obama is the crown king, by their own words, the one we have been waiting for. Those are the exact words of, among others, I can't remember the name of the extreme left winger, the writer of The Color Purple. And this is a movement that has been percolating for over 30 years, and they are all interconnected. Mr. Bill Ayers, and I will give you off the air a contact from a high officer in American intelligence for you to verify this, okay? I'm not going to tell you on the air. Bill Ayers was working with the Venceremos Brigades. That was the volunteers that used to go to Cuba.
In Cuba, sure, I know who they are.
He had a code name that was given to him by Cuban intelligence, and his name, it was Delgado. He was the recruiting bridge to take members of the Weather Underground to Cuba.
You know, Jose, I'm laughing because it's as though I'm speaking to – it's like a psychic connection, you and I. His code name, Delgado. I may be one of the only people in the world who knows who Delgado was. Do you know that Delgado, about 50 years ago, is a Spanish scientist who put electrodes in the brain of a bull and then went into a bull arena and had the bull charge him and with a handheld device stopped the bull from charging at him by controlling the electrode, the charge of the electrode? Are you aware of that?
No, can't remember. I'm not.
Very few people understand that, but I'm one of the few people who've actually studied condition responses and operational condition, operant conditioning, so-called Pavlovian response. This is well beyond Pavlovian conditioning. This is controlling a raging bull with an electrode implanted in his brain. The name of the scientist, Delgado. Now, it's interesting that Ayers would be called Delgado if this is true. But we won't go there yet. Jose, how could the media be so duped? Are they as naive and as so lacking substance as I've said all these years?
Well, like I said again, this is not, these things are not disconnected. These things have been worked on very patiently, very slowly, following a very strong philosophical advice by Antonio Gramsci and Saul Alinsky. You know, communists after Stalin, they discovered that you cannot be Marxist-Leninist. You are not going to change the West by a confrontation. You have to do this by slowly infiltrating the institutions. Gramsci discovered that in Italy, you could not have the working class abandon their Catholic faith in order to become communist. So what he thought you needed to do was to infiltrate then the church, the schools, everything. You don't need to bother. You don't have to be confrontational with religion.
Right, and of course, another arm of that would be the homosexual invasion of the Catholic Church and the lawsuits, which has almost destroyed the church. Certainly, there were real abuses, but you also know many of them were invented strictly to destroy the church and to so-called, let us say, weaken the church, make it a little more sympathetic. Why? Now, here's another question for you, and I know this is one you may not, I suspect this is one you may not answer. I have suspected all along that this loud, militant, homosexual movement in America is disconnected from the sexual homosexual. It is a political homosexual element, and I believe it is leftist in its intention. That is, if you take millions of Americans and exploit their sexual orientation by letting them think they have total freedom, but you use their sexual orientation to infiltrate the schools, to infiltrate the churches, to infiltrate the media, to infiltrate Hollywood, you can slowly but surely, literally destroy the brick of civilization, which is the family. Do you agree with me on that?
Yes, and I would put it in this terms, because one of the major avenues to do that is to destroy the basis for morality. So if you go to that extreme where you can make this kind of behavior acceptable as normal, you have basically destroyed any firewall to contain the morality that brings contains the middle class and the family together. One of the major neuralgic points that these people want to attack is the family. Because the one of the reasons, for example, in my case and in many cases of other people, they failed in gaining our support is because we come from strong religious families, and they want to take away that from
well,
you.
Isn't that what gay marriage is all about? It's really not about homosexuals wanting to be married. Isn't it about destroying marriage itself?
It's a political goal. It's part of a political goal.
It has nothing to do with homosexual behavior nor homosexual freedom. It is part and parcel of the Marxist movement in America. I've said this for at least 10 years. And incidentally, Jose, I have a friend who is married to a Latino woman, and she observed this over the weekend. She said the older generation of Latinos here in her circles are all voting for McCain, and they're all voting yes on Proposition 8. To defend families and marriage. She said the younger generation of Latinos are all voting for Obama, and they're all in favor of homosexual marriage. So this idea that the Latino community is going to be Catholic and it's going to be traditional and it's going to save America has gone up in smoke. Why? Because they've been brainwashed in the Marxist educational system. I think you'd agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yes, especially the younger crowd. But, you know, again, I go back to an earlier point. I really blame the stupidity and the lack of connection with people in the Republican Party. They had over 47% of the support of the Hispanic. There's a difference. We have to be aware. There is the illegal immigration Hispanic, and there's the Hispanics that have been here for generations or have come here legally, which are part of the brain drain that has come from Cuba, Venezuela, and Latin America that are tired of centralized government programs. And they come here because they dream in part
of America. Right, the best and the brightest of those Latin countries have come to America to establish a life for themselves. Yeah, we know who they are, but their children have become brainwashed here.
Well, that's true. That's through the public education system. But then you have these vast people who are here illegally, who are, this is no slight on them, this is just a sociological fact, of less education, and that are subject to this demagoguery now from Senator Obama, which is the same demagoguery they were subject to from in Venezuela or anywhere else where they have this.
Absolutely. So here's another question for you. We can go on and on and on, but you're so you're such a savage sage that I'm going to keep throwing questions at you because you know more about the sequence than I do. I understand the sweep of history and what's going to happen or what's likely to happen or what might happen. But you know the actual mechanics of what's going to happen. Here's the next question. If Obama wins, will they go after their internal enemies first, meaning within the Democrat Party itself, and try to eliminate the moderates within his own party? Or will he go after the conservatives first on the other side of the aisle?
They will go within the party. There's going to be a purge inside the Democratic Party, which has already been in place.
Exactly. I agree 100%. The first people to go are going to be the moderate Democrats who think they were dealing with an FDR rather than a Hugo Chavez.
Exactly right. And that has already been in place, especially in the academia world, where whole careers like mine and others that I can tell you by name and address and phone number have been completely railroaded out of, especially in the humanities and the social sciences.
Right. So although you have a Hispanic accent and name, you were not sufficiently politically to the left to survive the academic jungle because you were of no longer any use to the radical Marxists who had taken over the institutions of lower living.
Absolutely correct. And I can give you the exact time and date when that happened.
No. Listen, I went through it 15 years ago, but look what happened to me. I'm their worst nightmare. So, Jose, there's always hope. When you take the brains out of one institution, the brains don't disappear. That is unless they believe in the final solution, Jose. That's the next question. Do they believe in the final solution, Jose? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Obama and FDR reincarnate, or Hugo Chavez, or something worse. I think you need to look at Progressives for Obama. That's a website of the far left behind him. I think you need to ask yourself, how is it in this country that we permitted a company owned by Venezuela to run Smartmatic voting machines? I mean, am I the only one to bring this up? Are you aware of the fact that Chavez's Venezuela, an outright Marxist nation, owns one of our major e-voting machine companies called Smartmatic? Are you aware of the fact that your votes may be processed through Venezuela, and some may be nullified and some may be reported? Why is it that Bill Ayers, Weatherground Underground terrorist co-conspirator Mark Rudd, actor Danny Glover, Cuba's Castro, are not mentioned by John McCain? Jose, I know we have such limited time. Here's the big question for you. You've studied these people inside and out. Do they want the final solution? Will they try to line up, imprison, and liquidate people in this country?
I don't think so in this sense. I think you never know. I mean, never say never, right? But I don't think that they need to do that. They have learned a lot from history. They're smarter than that.
I agree with you 100%. You don't need to liquidate people if you can nullify people. And they've nullified a goodly percentage of America through the schools and through the media, through the movies. You name it. They've nullified 50% of the people by narcotizing them with unlimited sex, drugs, and rock and roll. If you can drug people with pornography, if you can drug people with Ritalin, if you can drug people with Prozac, if you can drug people with the lie called change, why do you need to kill them?
Well, exactly. And the thing that what you need to watch is that I think what they're what he would try to do definitely is to find every possible way, if not by way of controlling the Supreme Court and the legislature, to circumvent the Constitution by way of ground roots organizations. Chavez, it took 10 years.
Jose, we're almost out of time. I could go for you with another hour. We're going to talk again Wednesday. Thank you very much. Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Now, this is absolute Marxist dialectic coming from the mouth of Barack Hussein Obama, the anointed one of the radical left. And we have a media that is less than worthless. They're less than zero. Not one question from the stealth Marxist, in my opinion, baggy-eyed Bolshevik, I've called him, not affectionately, Bill Lehrer, and the other frauds who were used as moderators, all leftists, by the way. Every one of them was a vaudevillian leftist, whether it was, I'm talking about the presidential so-called debates. Immigration rarely came up. The true radical nature of Obama's teachings, his friendships never came up. John McCain tried his best to articulate it, but being a man of action. See, there's an interesting dialect, opposition here. John McCain is actually a man of action. After all, he was a fighter pilot. Now, if you know anything about fighter pilots or boxers, they're not men of many words, but they're good men. They're strong men. They're brave men. They're men we need to keep this country going. On the other side, we have a lawyer, a Marxist lawyer, a Marxist revolutionary lawyer named Barack Hussein Obama. Now, you may say, how could this be happening in my country at this time, that we have a lawyer, the least popular profession in America, an ivory tower intellectual, also not very popular in America, and a far left one at that, not popular at all. How could he be so far ahead in the polls? Well, it's a perfect storm, of an inept opposition through the Republican Party of know-nothing, check-pants, Yaleites who don't even know the real world. They only know how to rob and steal from the Treasury and to feather each other's nests, to get us into endless foreign wars and make fortunes that would have made King Midas blanch off contracts without regard to the damage to the world and the nation, and never mind to the Marine Corps itself. You have a war that went on forever under George Bush. You have an inept candidate in John McCain. And then the biggest stool, the most important stool in this leg of the stool, a complicit or ignorant media. Now, John McCain, the man of action, tried to talk about Bill Ayers, but he didn't understand what the league he was in. McCain was over his head. McCain couldn't grasp the actualities of Bill Ayers. He tried to say Marxist. He tried to say radical. But I'm going to read you what Bill Ayers said 2 years ago, because we have it now sent to me by the folks who do my website. World Education Forum, November 2006, Caracas, Venezuela. There is Bill Ayers. Who is Bill Ayers? Barack Obama's good friend, dear friend, neighbor in Chicago, a man he's worked with for years to bring about revolution in America. And here is Bill Ayers 2 years ago, not 30 years ago, not 40 years ago. President Chavez, he says, and comrades, I'm honored, etc., to be here. Brothers and sisters throughout North America, I welcome you to the World Education Forum. Amamos la Revolución Bolivariana. He goes down, and here's what he says. Here is your good friend Bill Ayers. And he quotes Dewey and Dubois, who wrote, quote, "We can't have education without revolution. We have tried peace education for 1900 years, and it has failed. Let us try revolution and see what it will do now," close quote. We have naked Marxist revolutionaries about to seize the keys to this nation, and yet we have a complicit Democrat Party. These Marxist revolutionaries outmaneuvered Hillary Clinton. As corrupt as the Clintons were, I can guarantee you They pose no danger to our survival as a nation to any extent, to the extent that this man will. How did they let it happen? How could a corrupt, powerful Clinton machine permit the Marxist revolutionaries to do this to them is the question. That's a question for historians to answer. Probably has to do more with money than anything else. Which leads us to the next question. Here we have these fraudulent, stinking liberals in this country who for years have been screaming about money and politics and candidates and money and politics and candidates and money and politics. Here you have a Barack Hussein Obama who reports $700 million in income, much of it through credit cards from third world nations, the Gaza Strip, Saudi Arabia, and all of a sudden our dear fraudulent, stinking liberals suddenly love the smell of money. Because they might just get their revolutionary agenda pushed through. So there it is. We have Obama stating we need a civilian security force while campaigning in July. Unquestioned by the vermin in the media, who should be remembered forever for the stinkers that they are. And now you understand why Michael Savage is an independent and has been for all these years in politics on the radio. Now you understand why you never see me on Fox News. Now you understand why I am the least known but most loved man in the American media. Now you understand why, although my books are promoted by nobody but myself on this show and on my website, I've had four bestsellers in a row and now I'm working on my fifth and it's not even in bookstores. Now you understand the thirst for truth in America and how difficult it is to find that truth. Now you understand what Ernest Hemingway said when he said that we all know what the ring of truth is, and when we hear it, we salute it. We celebrate it. I represent one of the last true voices in this country. I represent one of the last voices of truth in this country. And I am telling you, right now before you, you are on the verge of a Marxist revolution in the United States of America. You have a naked Marxist, America-hating, white-hating party, wing of the party, about to seize power. And you don't even know it. You fools have dug your own graves, and you have thrown the lime in, and you're about to jump in. And you think you're liberals? Liberalism is a mental disorder. That was my third bestseller in a series. You are all mentally ill. Unfortunately, you're about to pull us all into the hole with you. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. We can't have education without revolution, says Bill Ayers, quoting King and Helen Keller. He says, we have tried peace education for 1900 years, and it has failed. Let us try revolution and see what it will do now. This is Bill Ayers, confidant, intellectual guru, neighbor, organizer, friend of Barack Obama at the World Education Forum in Caracas, Venezuela, not 30 years ago, but in November of 2006. This did not come up in any of the debates. Why was this speech not played? Why was this speech not played? Viva Misión Sucre. Viva Presidente Chavez. Viva la Revolución Bolivariana. Hasta la Victoria Siempre. And by the way, I know what Hasta la Victoria Siempre signifies because I've used it jokingly on this show for 15 years. That is the phrase of Fidel Castro. That is how Bill Ayers closed his speech 2 years ago. That is who is about to be elected to the presidency of the United States of America. San Francisco, Robbie, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I don't know where to start, but I'm going to tell you that I talked to a friend of mine last night. His name is Alan. He's from Israel. And he says they're really being spread thin in their army, and Syria has amassed a lot of troops at the 11th.
Wait. I don't want to talk about Israel. I don't care about Israel. I care only about America. Please focus on this election with me.
Well, yes, I will. Actually, okay. I feel that Obama is basically he strikes a sympathetic chord with all the self-proclaimed victims groups in this country, and
That's a given, but the question I raised at the beginning of the show was this. Why is it in liberal Marin County there are almost no Obama lawn signs? I can't get an answer to that question. What do you think?
Sure to that one, too, Michael, and that is that the rich liberals in Marin County are finally realizing that Obama's distribution of wealth is going to start chiseling away.
All right, so do you think that McCain has a chance?
I do if people wake up and realize that he's really the guy with a steady hand at the tiller, and he's really playing it.
Forget about steady hand at the tiller. He's an old dunce. but at least he doesn't represent outright treachery. Let's stop glorifying this old hack. The guy's like Willie Loman of politics. John McCain is the Willie Loman of the political machine. But I'll take Willie Loman over Karl Marx. Thanks for the call. See, what's the good of a caller if you get answers to don't get an answer to a question? I'm not going to glorify John McCain. Let's stop putting this guy up on the godhead. The guy is the Willie Loman of politics. I'll still vote for him, period, and you better also. And that's the question. How many people are really going to vote for Obama? Now, the radical left, the liberation theologists, those who want to bring it all down, girl, have enlisted hundreds of thousands, if not more, of illegitimate voters to vote early and vote often. Vote early and vote often. We've heard about Acorn. But vote early, vote often has been used, by the way, for many years by the left. That's why illegitimate candidates like Barbara Boxer continue to win in the Bay Area. That is why they support illegal aliens. They've bussed them to polls for years. I know California better than you may imagine. I've lived here a very long time. And I am telling you that this state is centrist. It is not far left. I know that the taxpayers of this state do not want to vote themselves to pay more taxes. That's a given. Tell me what taxpayer wants to pay more taxes. None. It's a myth. It's a lie. And yet, many of them are saying to Obama, yes, please tax us. Please drive us out of business. Yes, I don't want my little white child to go to Berkeley. I want an illegal alien to go to Berkeley. Yes, I would like to see my daughter cleaning houses, and I'd like to see an illegal alien have a few steps up. Yes, I want to put my little white girl on the back of the bus. Do you know anybody who's actually saying that? But they're voting that, you idiots. They're voting themselves down the scale of success. They're voting themselves down the ladder of success. Do they really know this? Do they really want to condemn their children to a life of servitude? Do they really want to move less qualified people above their own children? I would think that some of the radical leftists do, because they hate themselves and they hate their children. They're that guilty. I'm thinking of Amy Beale, the poor white girl who was killed in South Africa. I'll use her as a model for a minute. Amy Beale, well-educated, nice-looking blonde child, works on behalf of the poor, oppressed black people of South Africa. She's driving around South Africa with black friends. The mob comes around the car, and they want to kill her. And her black friends say, no, no, not her. She's one of us. She's worked for us. They pull the white girl out of the car, and they stone her to death in front of her black friends. You think that's the end of the story? It's not. Her parents, her moronic parents, in my opinion, who killed her, in my opinion, have opened up a foundation in South Africa and have hired the people who killed their own daughter. So if you think white liberals are sane and have a moral center, you are mistaken. Many of them are insane, and many of them would sacrifice gladly their own flesh and blood for their ideology. It's that bad. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Hey, my love. I love you so, I want it for you. You'll never know. Please.
There's the sound of America as it was. This is the Savage Nation as it is. The time is, well, it's the time of the eve. It was the eve before election when all through the house, not a creature was stirring. Not even a mouse. Welcome back to the program. I'm doing everything I can to be the Paul Revere that many of you hope I am. I am trying my best to race across America in these last hours and warn you that you have a clear choice. Yes, it's a Willie Loman on the conservative, on the Republican side. He's a non-conservative, checked pants, middle-of-the-road, compromised Republican named John McCain. But he is a war hero. We can trust him on national security. He's certainly not going to seize our guns, and he's certainly not going to seize our freedoms. That's good enough for me. I don't expect anything more from a politician. On the other side, we have either an unknown, an FDR-like Democrat, which I doubt, or an outright Chavez, Castro, left-wing Marxist revolutionary. Are you going to gamble with your nation simply because you don't like white men? Are you going to gamble with your country simply because you don't like Republicans? Are you going to gamble with your nation simply because you didn't like what George Bush did in Iraq? Are you going to cut your nose to spite your nation? This is the Savage Nation. Now, I want to read something to you from Psychological Nudity, because many of you do know who I am and many of you don't. I grew up in Queens, New York, and I grew up in a time when we had a rifle team in the basement of Jamaica High School, and I was on it. And I want to read you one page from Psychological Nudity, page 77. What did I have in my mind when I was shooting targets? Do you know that there was a rifle team in my high school when I was a youth? At Jamaica High School in Queens, we had a rifle team. Nobody picked up a gun then and ran through the hall shooting anybody. Why? A, there was no psychotic medication. There was no Prozac. There was no Ritalin. Nobody was crazy. At that point in America, at that time, if you were crazy, you weren't in high school. You were already filtered out earlier on. By the fourth, fifth grade, they knew if you were a nut, and they put you into a nut house. But you didn't get into high school. They filtered you out. They didn't ask questions. They said, who's that nut over there in the second row? What's he doing there reaching into his trousers in the middle of geometry class? Get him out of here. They'd call the marshals and throw the kid out or whatever. They didn't ask permission for some whack job psychotic criminal with a medical history, whether they could throw him out. They threw him out. The lawyers were not out of control in those days either. But to get back to the story, we had Mossberg 22 target rifles. To this day, I can remember being in the basement of that school. Remember now, we're talking New York City rifle team. I could smell the gunpowder. To this day, I can hear the shots being fired. I would come up from that rifle experience, my head was clearer, and I was able to focus better on school because I wasn't bored anymore. The report of the rifle, the smell of the gunpowder, the camaraderie, and more importantly, the men who taught us riflery were all World War II or Korean War veterans, every one of them. That's who was teaching in those days. Compare it to today, to the Marvins that they got, who tell you it's okay if you feel like putting on your mother's wig. That's from page 77, Psychological Nudity. Now you understand why you have to get this book as soon as possible. Now I'm going to jump from there to some stories that are a must directly related to this. Michael Savage, rifle team in high school. Let's go to the police forces of the United States of America today. Muslim suit over scarves in California jail settled. California County will allow jailed Muslim women to wear scarves after settling a suit with a woman who claims deputies violated her religious freedom by making her remove her hijab. Now, this is a ruse. This is a complete ruse to weaken our police. Now, jump down to a story on MichaelSavage.com if you want to see that one. Now, compare it to a story down on the left. How far down is it here? I hope it's – there it is. L.A. Noir, Tales from the Gangster Squad, Los Angeles Times. The Gangster Squad was formed in 1946 to keep East Coast Mafia out of Los Angeles. Now, who did they hire? Who did the L.A. police hire in 1946 to stop the mafia from penetrating Los Angeles? According to this article, they hired the toughest boys who came back from World War II. Pilots, Marines, soldiers. These were big, brawny, tough men. But guess what? They were given a mandate. Keep them out of L.A. Don't let them get a grip. And so they got these guys. They took them up to Mulholland Drive. They put guns in their mouth or they killed them. They didn't worry about what they had to do to stop the gangsters from taking over. Now, let's go to Los Angeles today, 2008. Gangs control Los Angeles. There are districts the police will not even go into. What is the L.A. police force comprised of? There are still some tough ex-Marines, ex-military, nakedly tough men. But by and large, it's been a gelded force like every other police force in America. You've got women, you've got gays, you've got lesbians, you've got unqualified minorities, left and right in the police force. They're using it as a sort of social advancement. They're not the tough guys from World War II who would do anything to stop the gangs. They themselves are afraid of the gangs, which is why the gangs have taken over. San Francisco, good police, tough police, strong as iron, to about an 80th percentile. Police chief, woman. Type of woman, has not qualified with a pistol for over 2 years. Size of woman, short woman. A little woman. Her lady friends are in the leadership positions in the SFPD. The San Francisco Police Department has legions of gays and lesbians in it. Is it a city that is crime-free? No. It is a city that has an out-of-control homicide rate. It's a city that protects Salvadoran drug dealers. It's a city that protects juvenile drug dealers from Central America. It's a city that has police that have been controlled by the weaklings in the department. That's a symptom of what has gone on. That's an example, rather, of what happens when liberalism takes over a city. Let me go back again. L.A. Noir, Tales from the Gangster Squad. Gangster Squad formed in L.A. in 1946. Big, brawny, tough men. War heroes. B-25 pilots. They came back from killing Germans to keep Los Angeles gangster-free, and they did a good job at it. Los Angeles today, any police department today, The 80% of tough men are controlled by the 20% of weaklings and perverts in their own police departments. That's what's coming to a military near you. That's what's coming to America. That's your choice tonight. Make a decision. Do you want to live in fear of the gangs, or do you want to control the gangs? You've got a clear choice. War hero or Marxist revolutionary?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
The government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America, God damn America, that's in the Bible, for killing innocent people. God damn America, for treating our citizens as less than human.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, flag or sleeve all deep. Here come Tuesday.
It is the Savage Nation. Welcome to the program. Welcome back to the program. We've had quite a few couple of hours if you just joined us. Look, it comes down to this. We have a certified war hero who is really a Willie Loman of politics on one side, John McCain. We can trust him on national security. We have an unknown or an outright Marxist revolutionary on this side named Barack Hussein Obama, who represents clearly the most far-left candidate ever in the history of America, who's been, in essence, pardon the word, koshered by the media. Here's a man, Obama, who says, you just heard it, that we must... To achieve our national security objectives, we've got to have a civilian national security force that is just as powerful. Is this an SA? Is this a brown shirts? What does he mean, a civilian national security force? Now, you may say, well, okay, Savage is a guy on the right, and so he's just worried about justice prevailing in America. Really? I'm the only guy asking this question? Why didn't the baggy-eyed Bolshevik Jim Lehrer of Communist Public Radio ask this question? Why didn't that Bob Schieffer left-wing fellow traveler ask this question? Why didn't any of the people in the media ask this man, Barack Hussein Obama, friend of the terrorist William Ayers, who was in Venezuela 2 years ago, speaking at a Communist Revolutionary Educational Society, talking about revolution to his South American brethren? Why are these questions not answered by our media? Why are you so stupid to not understand this man is not a normal Democrat? This man may be not a normal Democrat. No, my friends, he may not even be an FDR. FDR, as you well know, if you know anything about history, was a far-left Democrat, but he was a Democrat. Barack Hussein Obama is a revolutionary Marxist by his teachings, by his writings, by his associations, by his affiliations, and by his own speeches. And yet the American people are so dumbed down. They have been so brainwashed, they don't even understand they're not voting between a Democrat and a Republican. They're voting between an outright Marxist and an old line, middle of the road, Willie Loman Republican named John McCain. By the way, Obama's grandmother died a few hours ago on the eve of the election. Our condolences to the Obamas and our questions to the media as to why you didn't raise one question about Obama's birth certificate, which was raised by 79 million voters on the internet over the last several months, but not raised by any of you in the media who have opened your kimonos to Barack Hussein Obama's lies. You've all opened your kimonos to Barack Hussein Obama's lies because you yourselves have lost any credibility whatsoever. And make no mistake about it, whoever wins this election, there's one giant loser. One giant loser, and that is the department store dummies in the midstream media. They are the biggest losers in this election. Make no mistake about it. Of course, the next biggest losers will be you with your freedoms. You don't understand that. But even if I were a Muslim who has come here, who had come here to this country, if I, Michael Savage, was a Muslim who came to this country because I wanted a better way of life than in my home country, where oppression is the norm, where advancement is impossible unless you're connected to the corrupt ruling families, I, as a Muslim, would vote for John McCain because I wouldn't take a chance on seeing a devolution of my democracy. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. My name is Michael Savage, as you well know. My website is michaelsavage.com. And we want to welcome back live on the Savage Nation our affiliate in Los Angeles, KGIL 1260 on the dial. As a matter of fact, if I get a caller right now from my Los Angeles affiliate, you're going to get a free copy of my newest and best book, Psychological Nudity. Maybe I should ask if you could identify the brand of hat that I'm wearing, the brand of sunglass I'm wearing, or the breed of my dog. I'll also give you a free book, but forget the last three. 1-800-449-8255, New York City, W-O-R, Assis. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. I'm a moderate Muslim, and I'm voting for McCain, but it's more of a vote against BO. Only for two major reasons, the survival of America and your endorsement. Two books changed my life in the last few months, Bernard Lewis's What Went Wrong and Liberalism is a Mental Disorder by You. It's true what I hear both in the classrooms at Queens College and the Friday sermons in the mosques across New York City are just tantamount to sedition and even treason. For example, last Thursday, my Chinese history professor, Dr. Morris Rosabi, said in a lecture on Mao Zedong's insane economic policies that, quote, Obama is not radical enough. What? Obama...
What? At Queens College, they're preaching that Mao was not revolutionary enough? He killed over 60 million Chinese.
Exactly. This is insane.
It's that bad at Queens College?
It is. It is. It should be called Communist University of New York.
Oh, my God. So, in other words, my guest of the last hour... Mr. Jose, whose name will remain anonymous, who understands communist Marxist revolutionary tactics, who said the universities have been infiltrated. This has been a long 40-year process. You certainly are living it, aren't you?
I am living here. I was born here. I was born here.
No, I'm saying you're living that revolution in the colleges. Assis, let me send you a free copy of Psychological Nudity. You don't even have to identify the Gucci hat, the Ray-Ban sunglasses, and the toy poodle on the cover. We have 1 minute until the break. Can anyone listening to this show honestly and truly tell me that they know 100% for sure that Obama is a moderate Democrat? And prove it to me. And before you call the show to tell me that, can you explain to me what he means by a civilian security force? Can you please try to explain that away to me? Explain that away for me. Can you explain to me what Obama means by a civilian security force? Doesn't that give you the chills? Doesn't it worry you that a candidate who is a lawyer, who is a professor, who is a Marxist, who is associated with revolutionaries, who espouses revolutionary doctrine in his entire life, doesn't it worry you when he says he wants to create his own civilian security force? Next up, an interview that I did earlier with Ralph Nader right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The midstream media would have you believe that Obama is the perfect candidate. Obama stands for the everyday ordinary person. But they pay no attention to the fact that Obama has raised more money through corporate donations than even the so-called big business Republicans. Joining us today is presidential candidate Ralph Nader to talk about his candidacy. He may be from the far left, but we agree on the danger of Obama's connections to big Wall Street firms. Ralph Nader, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on again.
What message are you trying to get across this year?
Well, there's got to be a candidacy, and we believe Nader Gonzalez is the one that stands up in Washington for the people against the domination of big business. These global corporations have no more allegiance to the United States of America, even though they grew to profit on the backs of American workers. They can't wait to ship more jobs and more factories to fascist and communist dictators abroad like China, who know how to keep their workers in their place, if you know what I mean. It's very clear what we stand for. 17 long overdue changes in America that are supported by a majority of the American people and that are ignored or opposed by the corporate candidates Obama and McCain. And we start with no more surrender of U.S. local, state, and national sovereignty to these global corporations, the architects of these pull-down international trade agreements like NAFTA and the World Trade Organization. No more of that. We're going to protect American workers. We're not going to let serf labor and dictators overseas invite our multinationals to take jobs and factories there and pull down American standards of living. That's one. And there are many more, cracking down on corporate crime, fraud and abuse, which is all over, ripping into consumers and investors. No more bailouts of crooks and swindlers on Wall Street. Law and order for corporate criminals in the executive suites, not just criminals in the streets.
What kind of big business ties does Obama have?
Oh, enormous. He has raised, as the public records show, more money from Wall Street executives, commercial interests, big business, than John McCain, the first Democratic nominee for president who's ever raised more money from these corporate Wall Street interests than his Republican counterpart. Why are these Wall Street and corporate interests investing? The drug industry, the oil, gas industry, the coal, nuclear industry, the securities industry. Why? Because Barack Obama has demonstrated, state senator in Illinois, U.S. senator, and a campaigner, he's their man. And so let no one be misabused. He will further entrench what Eisenhower warned us about in his farewell address, the military-industrial complex. It's eating our tax dollars alive with all these weapon system cost overruns, etc., that people in the Pentagon have told us should never have been allowed in the first place, like the F-22. And he supported the bailout, $700 billion, without any placement of federal cops on the Wall Street crime beat. And he did not defend the hundreds of billions of dollars in worker pension funds and mutual funds and small savers looted and drained by these Wall Street crooks who enriched their own treasuries and then jumped ship into a golden lifeboat. You know, there are a lot of voters out there. Half of them don't even vote, and we want them to come and vote for Nader Gonzalez. When you vote for Nader Gonzalez, you get what you vote for. When you vote for Obama, you get what big business has paid for.
This year in particular, besides Obama first and foremost, then McCain, there have been no talk of any of the third parties.
First, the two parties control the debates. They have this little company called the Debate Commission, and they exclude third-party independent candidates, even major ones. Every national poll from 2000 to now have a majority of the American people want me, Ralph Nader, on a debate stage. But there's no way to reach tens of millions of people unless you get on that debate stage with a Republican Democrat. And they control the keys. That's how absurd it is. They deny tens of millions of voters an opportunity to see another way for America, another way forward, more like Abraham Lincoln, a government of, by, and for the people. And then when you're not on the debates, then the national TV excludes you, like ABC and CBS. And then you're drained by all these state obstacles to putting you on the ballot because the two parties write these bills into law and don't want any competition. And then, of course, there's big money going into the Republican Democratic Party. Imagine, we've done this 50-state campaign with 35 state offices asking for the protest voter, for the voter of conscience, and for the non-voter to come out in millions for the Nader Gonzalez ticket on $4 million. That's our entire budget. None of it from commercial interests or PACs. That is what I am told Barack Obama raises in one day. And so that shows you how frugal and honest we are. It continually invites your thoughts to our website, votenader.org, which has a fantastic skit, which is the search for the Obama nuts. And it's really a very well done thing, reflecting on the lack of political fortitude by Obama. And it's supported by a 5,000-word documentation of Obama's record by my vice presidential mate, Matt Gonzalez, a leading civil rights lawyer in San Francisco.
Why haven't people heard this about Obama? Why is the media hiding it?
Well, he sweet-talks the media. He sweet-talks the public. Very general. Hope, change, change, hope, hope, change. How many times have you heard it? I don't see any of his backers looking for change. I don't see the big drug companies looking for change and how they gouge people, even though the taxpayer subsidizes their free research and development for drugs under the National Institutes of Health. I don't see the oil and gas companies, the banks, the financial industry, the insurance companies who bankroll Obama, looking for change. The Obama campaign, if he becomes president, is an unprecedented historic upward mobility move for the first African-American president. But it's also one of the biggest con jobs in modern American history. Prepare to be disappointed. He's turned his back on the 100 million poorest Americans, the people who do our dirty work, our dangerous work, who harvest our food, who are our nannies, who clean up after us, who are underpaid, who are ripped off, and who die earlier because they don't have health insurance, and who fight our wars overseas. So that is my greatest criticism of Obama, is he turns his back on his past. He turns his back on what he claims he is running for. He's a big business candidate.
As we get into the final day of campaigning, what do you see happening?
Well, I see that more people will start saying, hey, if this is going to be a landslide in my state for Obama, what are we wasting our vote for, piling on a landslide by two parties that have kept breaking their promise and lying to us in area after area? Oh, they're going to reduce the deficit, bigger than ever. Oh, universal health care, more people without health care. Oh, they're going to do something about jobs. They're putting money, blowing apart Iraq and other wasteful military expenditures that the Pentagon audits has documented again and again to no avail. You know, oh, we're going to have energy independence, and we're importing more oil than ever because that's what the big oil companies want. So we want people who are protest voters, who are voters of conscience, and who would otherwise stay home to come out and vote for the Nader Gonzalez campaign, because every vote we get is a stronger people's voice in Washington, a hammer, a watchdog, which we will honestly take with us after November 4th to Washington, D.C. And you want to see what we stand for, just go to votenader.org. You'll see what we've stood for 40 years. When you vote for Nader Gonzalez, you vote. You get what you vote for. There's no BS. There's no rhetoric. There's no distraction. There are no lies. There are no broken promises. We stand for a strong, forward-looking America that takes all these solutions off the shelf and puts them on the
okay. Go ahead.
This country, their dollars and their tax dollars.
Ralph Nader, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me on again, Michael.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Just remember, even if we do have a Marxist revolution in America in the form of Obama, and he is the worst that we fear, rather than the moderate that he presents himself as, meaning an FDR Democrat, and he does turn out to be a Chavez-like Marxist revolutionary, just remember that even in Venezuela, there are millions of freedom-loving people who are willing to fight day and night to overthrow the dictatorship, as there was in Mussolini's Italy, as there was in Hitler's Germany, as there was in Pol Pot's Cambodia. Of course, these are extreme examples of where revolutionary Marxism leads. The fact of the matter is, though, we don't know who Obama is and how far he will go. We do know that he is a revolutionary. He has said so himself. On my website, and I want to go through the stories now, the lead story really is Obama wants his own civilian security force. I didn't put those words in his mouth. Don't accuse me of putting these words in his mouth. Play it again, please.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Just as strong. What does he mean, a civilian national security force? I thought we had a National Guard. So now he wants to create a new Praetorian Guard, a new essay. What does he mean? Does he mean the Nation of Islam walking around white neighborhoods to question people as to their political correctness? What does he mean? Why did Bob Schieffer of CBS not ask him? Why did the baggy-eyed Bolshevik of PBS not ask him? Why did John McCain himself, the Willie Loman of politics, not ask him this question? Next story on MichaelSavage.com, and this is a new story. Muslims sued over scarves in California jail settle. The ACLU, the most dangerous radicals America's ever seen, the most engorged left-wing organization in America, funded by people who sent toxic, who made their fortune, billions of dollars, savings bank, loaded with subprime mortgages, toxic mortgages, sold their bank before the collapse, made billions of dollars. They're the single largest donors to the ACLU. Good liberals funded the ACLU to overturn America, to turn America on its ear. Now a California county was sued by this rotten, stinking group of verminous lawyers in the ACLU on behalf of a troublemaker, in my opinion, who used her hijab as a political weapon. Read about it. Read it and weep. If you think we're not going to wind up upside down in this country, you may be mistaken. Again, new story, sad story. Obama's grandmother dies on the eve of election. Not one of the empty skirts in the media asked this question. Why would a candidate locked in such a heated battle leave on Thursday to visit his grandmother for 24 hours when questions were swirling about Obama's birth certificate? 70 million people were on websites for several months asking about Obama's birth certificate. This became a question that was asked by the people, not being asked by the empty suits in the media. His grandmother's now dead. Okay. God bless her soul. Let's go down. Marathons. Two died. Two died in the New York Marathon. Is it the new euthanasia for the elderly? Let's hope not. Next article. Bored in the USA. Springsteen strums for B.O. B-O-R-E-D. Bored in the USA. Springsteen strums for B.O. What is wrong with you people who consider yourself libertarians or conservatives who did not look through this fraud Springsteen 10 years ago when I did? Here's a guy strumming for B.O., strumming for a revolutionary Marxist, and you think Springsteen is a libertarian? What's wrong with you people? Answer, you're as brainwashed as the left that you accuse of being brainwashed. What's a landslide? Well, read the article because I don't want to explain it. Jewberry debuts. Not my word, his words. New York Post, website, michaelsavage.com. Tech-savvy Orthodox Jews can now reach out for the handset of God. They've created a new device called a Jewberry. Check it out. Next article. Surgeon accused of speeding man's death to harvest organs. Next article. Gays attack kids with media blitz. We have an election in this state that is going to be seminal on another issue. That's the issue of preserving traditional marriage, which is under assault from the radical homosexuals. Make no mistake about it. Most gays do not want to be married. Make no mistake about it. The gay marriage rubric is part and parcel with the revolutionary Marxism that I've been describing on the show for years. Why do I say that? Because most people who are gay do not care about marriage. It's a very small minority within the minority of people, and they're extremely political. Many of them don't even understand that they're being used by the revolutionary Marxist movement to destroy the last brick of Western civilization, which is quote-unquote bourgeois marriage. And I have read Marx's dialectics. Karl Marx said that the institution of marriage must be destroyed in order to rebuild a new society. The concept of ownership of children, ownership of spouse is a bourgeois concept that must go. Make no mistake about it. Homosexual marriage is not about equality. It is about destroying the brick of civilization called traditional marriage. Make certain that you vote yes on Proposition 8. Yes on Proposition 8. Save marriage. Save children from this juggernaut of left-wing insanity. What's the next article on MichaelSavage.com? Let's see. L.A. Noire, Tales from the Gangster Squad. I could not stop reading this series. A, I love crime stories. B, I love reading about police when they were really police, before they were infected with the radical leftist agenda, when police departments were really police departments, when big, tough men could use their force, their power, and their intimidation to keep the city safe enough for your grandmother to go out for a loaf of bread at midnight. Today, you're afraid to go out for a loaf of bread at 2 in the afternoon because the police have been infiltrated. So we have 80% tough men ruled by the 20% of weaklings and perverts That's the new police of America. Read what America was like when police could take a gangster out and put a gun in his ear and say, get out of town, buddy, or you're not going to live another day. Read what it was like. Read about America when it was really America. I didn't write the article. Someone else did. On the bottom left of my website, michaelsavage.com, I ask the question, is Madonna the world's oldest stripper? Because she sure looks like it to me, and I wouldn't pay two bits to see two, well, the world's oldest stripper. Let's put it to you that way. Who in the world would care about this old hag, Madonna, getting up there in her underwear? What in the world is wrong with you people that you'd go see an old woman jumping around in her underwear and consider her an entertainer? That she has no conscience, that she has no brains, that she has no self-respect is one thing. But I think the audience has no brains and no self-respect, in my opinion. This is the Savage Nation, a place to come with strong opinions. 1-800-449 is a place to call. Let us go to the caller, San Francisco, KNEW. Sarah, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I wanted to let you know, as a Muslim, you have to vote for McCain. If America is not waking up, seeing last time they ordered themselves, inexperienced American president.
You really are a Muslim woman. Why would you vote for McCain? Don't you want to wear the hijab and the burqa?
No, Michael, I went to a French Catholic school, and I know that everybody has the right to go ahead and choose the way they want to take it to their maker. I'm not here to judge anybody, and I don't think so covering my head is going to make me a better person.
No, I hear you. Of course I understand that. But what is it that you like about McCain, and what is it that you fear about Obama?
Obama, with his reverend right, reminds me of the first president after the revolution in Iran with Ayatollah Khomeini. Reverend Wright...
Reverend Wright is a flaming anti-white, anti-American preacher. How in the world can Obama have sat there for 20 years and tell us he didn't hear any of this? Do you believe a word of that?
No, I do not believe what...
All right, Sarah, here's the last question of the night. If you can name one story in my book, Psychological Nudity, I'll give you a free book. Is there one story of the 75 stories you can't wait to read?
I cannot name you that. I waited too long, and I think I forgot.
Okay, I'll tell you what, because you're such a nice person, I'm going to be Groucho Savage tonight. Stay on the line. We're sending you a free copy of Psychological Nudity. There's only a few weeks left before the holidays. There's only a few thousand copies left, and I suggest that Sarah deserves a copy of Psychological Nudity. But get ready for the callers, my friends. If I pick on you to come up on the air, there's 75 stories. Go onto the website and check out the names of the stories so you're ready the next time I put you up. Jim in Oregon, go ahead, please. You're up in the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Really difficult to be on after Jose. I've got a comment to make.
Jose was the most... I kept him on for 1 hour, which is astonishing. He was amazing. I don't know who he is, but I certainly know that this man knows what he's talking about. And when he says that Obama is a clear revolutionary Marxist, and he can prove it with his connections to Bill Ayers, who was in Venezuela two years ago, speaking at a revolutionary conference to his comrades, how in the world did Obama get away with saying he has no idea who Bill Ayers is? He met him once when he was a youth. How does he get away with this?
We're being snowed by the media. My comment
the empty skirts, the department store dummies like Wolf Blitzer. Bill, what's your main point tonight?
Jim, my main point is in Oregon is kind of a microcosm of a macrocosm. And that is because in Oregon, people don't vote for somebody because they don't like one aspect of their political.
Do you see many Obama lawn signs in your liberal community?
I'm not in a liberal community. I'm not even in flyover country. Where I live, there's nothing. But I still see Obama signs.
You're out in the boonies.
I'm way out in the boonies.
So you're telling me that Sasquatch is voting for Obama?
We don't have Sasquatch here.
I'm just checking out to see if you know what we're talking about. Okay, is Bigfoot voting for Obama?
Have him either.
Okay. So who are you telling me the wilderness types want Obama to win? They want a revolutionary Marxist in America in the wilderness areas of Oregon?
The point I'm trying to make is this. We are controlled in the...
All right, I think I want to move on. It's not that he's a bad caller. It's that I'm out of strength already. To pull a pearl from an oyster sometimes, you need a bigger tweezer than I have right now. All right, we're back on in Los Angeles. We're back on a great station, 50,000 watts of truth, LA's News Talk 1260 KGIL. And I offered a free book to anyone, the first caller from that station, James in Los Angeles. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind tonight?
Michael, welcome back to Los Angeles. It's a thrill and an honor.
I know. You must have been a regular listener on KGIL, correct?
I was, but I'm giving the Los Angeles some credit, Los Angeles Times, because they had a little blurb in the paper over the weekend that you were going to be coming back on tonight at 5:00.
I know. The LA Times actually mentioned Michael Savage's name. How is that name? How is that possible?
I know. I almost fell off my stool when I was eating my breakfast reading
that.
But
what are all of those Obama liquors going to do up in West Hollywood? How are they going to take it?
I don't know. It's going to be revolutionary.
Are you telling me that the millionaires of L.A. want to pay more taxes? Is that true?
Honest to God, I can't believe it, Michael. I drive by these mansions on Sunset Boulevard, and I see the Obama signs, and I'm thinking to myself, don't they get it? They're just going to have to pay more and more money.
Well, I think higher taxes are inevitable from either candidate because the country's bankrupt because of being robbed by the Wall Street gangsters. And, of course, the endless war in Iraq where contractors made fortunes that kings only dreamed of. I believe the country was bankrupted first by the Iraq war and then on a second tier by the Wall Street gangsters so they can get away with murder itself. And so, therefore, why not rob as much as they could before they left the country and turned the lights off? But the fact of the matter is, the country's bankrupt. We need higher taxes, and we're going to get them whether we want it or not. Whether it's McCain or Obama, it's only a matter of degree. I'm not concerned as much about taxes as I am about my loss of freedom. I'm concerned about losing my freedom to express my opinions on radio, for example. I don't think McCain would vote for a so-called fairness doctrine, but I'm positive Obama would because he's on record for having said so. They will not succeed because it's impossible. There's no precedent for targeting a certain segment of the media with a law. It would have to apply across the entire spectrum. I don't think ABC, CBS, or NBC is going to want Michael Savage on to give the conservative view after they've given the revolutionary Marxist view every night. So I don't see how it holds up legally. So I'm not worried about the fairness doctrine. I'm concerned about a civilian security force consisting of who? Doing what? What neighborhoods? What is Obama talking about? But James, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you a free copy of Psychological Nudity. If you can name one story in the book you can't wait to read, name it.
Perhaps about the guy with the bad breath that you rode in the car with as a kid.
I'm sorry, name that story again.
I was referring to you. You often talk about a man that had really bad halitosis that you used to sit with in a car.
All right, that's close enough. You win a free copy of Psychological Nudity for telling me you can't wait to read about One-Armed Frank. Stay on the line. That book's going out to Los Angeles tomorrow from my fulfillment house. Books are shipping. Only a few thousand copies are left. I am promising you this is a first edition, first printing. It's a collector's item. You can't buy it in a store. I have four bestsellers in a row. Most of you have bought those books or listened to this show. I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of hardcover books. I'm now talking about a book that I published and printed and wrote every word of myself, Psychological Nudity. This one's from the heart. 1-800-449-8255. Chicago. Aaron, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I am sending you articles that demonstrate that radical communism, Marxist communism, like we see with Bill Ayers and the Weather Underground and groups like that, are connected and working in conjunction with radical Islam. And in fact, some of these articles even suggest that historically it was the KGB back in the 60s that...
But Aaron, you're going to lose most of my audience. Listen, I coined the phrase Islamofascism back in 2002 or 2003. Why did I put the two together? Why did I say Islamofascism?
Well, because they're one and the same. They're two sides of the same.
They're one and the same. It's a combo deal that we have here. And many people are asking, you have a revolutionary Marxist, Bill Ayers, closely tied to Barack Hussein Obama, who is a lawyer, who is also a professor, who is also on record with revolutionary rhetoric going back to his college days. We see almost $700 million coming into his coffers on the books, much of which has come through credit cards. Many of these credit cards are unauthorized. Nobody knows where they came from. How is this happening in the United States of America? Moreover, how come John McCain was not able to articulate the danger we are in with Barack Hussein Obama? There are many answers to these questions. I've given them for years on this show. I'll be right back.
Savage.
gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America, that's in the Bible, for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating our citizens as less than human.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
So here you have a man, Barack Hussein Obama, who sat in a church, so-called, for 20 years, where he heard anti-American, anti-white, anti-military protestations, and he says he didn't hear any of it. And here's a man is saying that he wants to create his own security force. We don't know what that security force is nor what its objectives are. And not one of the empty skirts in the media dared ask this candidate what he meant by this. That's my job. That's why there is talk radio. That's our job. And by the way, you liberals ought to salute us. You ought to salute me for asking these questions, for having the guts to ask these questions and the brains to know what questions to ask. Instead of attacking me, you ought to be defending me. Now, I want to read you from Psychological Nudity, one paragraph, because you think it's a book only about family stories. It is largely that, but it's also very political. Page 118, Islamists are winning. And I'll read this to you just so you know that I know what I'm talking about. Here it is, quote, "The parallels between Nazism and Islamism are overwhelming." And notice I said Islamism. "Yet the subject is taboo. Last March, Matthias Kunzel, German historian and author of Jihad and Jew Hatred, Islamism, Nazism, and the Roots of 9/11, was to give a lecture at the University of Leeds in Britain. The university authorities canceled the lecture after threats from Muslim students. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm warning you that you're losing the war against radical Islam. They're putting a noose around your neck and they're tightening it. Now, most people don't want to talk about the radical Islamists. They'd rather put their heads in the sand. But you know what? They're repeating history. Read the rest of it on pages 118 and 119 and tell me if you disagree that the Islamists are winning in Psychological Nudity. Sacramento, Bob, go ahead, please. You've only got about 30 seconds. Fire away.
Civilian security force. We'll have the army. We'll have the National Guard. We'll have the security force. So why do the rest of the people need guns?
I see. So in other words, with Obama's special security force, you won't need a gun. They're going to protect you from yourself.
You bet.
Oh, God forbid. Well, we'll have to wait and see whether he is a Franklin Delano Roosevelt mild socialist or a Chavez revolutionary socialist, or will it be McCain by a squeak? I do not see any Obama lawn signs in liberal Marin. Do the white libs know something they're not willing to admit to their neighbors?
Savage.